Welcome back to Room Hacks Res Ed Chat Podcast, where we highlight cool people who do cool things and talk about cool stuff in residence life and college student housing. I'm your host, Crystal Lay, and I use the pronouns she, her, and hers. Very excited to talk to you all today about having productive and effective one-on-ones with your student staff. And we have a fantastic guest here today, Mimi Sullivan, who will introduce herself in a moment. But I wanted to do this topic because when I was an RA, my hall directors were fantastic. They were so good with these. They made them look easy. They were warm. They were engaging. They were compassionate. They also held me accountable and challenged me, which was actually really beneficial. But I found that when I actually became a resident director, one-on-ones were hard. I am an introvert and I don't enjoy small talk. And so I had to find something that worked for me, but also made one-on-ones a lot less awkward for my student staff. But I have not supervised RAs in a very long time. And although I was an RA myself, the work that RAs do is very different because so many things have changed over time. So I thought, let's talk to someone who's really good at one-on-ones with student staff and also has more recent and direct students experiences with student staff. So I will start off with having our guest introduce herself.
Hi, everyone. My name is Mimi Sullivan. I use she, her pronouns as well. And I have been working with RAs for a few years, and I can't remember how many years it is. So probably a lot. And I recently transitioned to an associate director role where I still work with RAs, but I also get to work with professional staff now, too.
Wonderful. And the other cool part is that I actually have known you since you were a student staff member when we both were at Sonoma State. And I am just so proud of you. And it's been really neat to see your journey and your progression in the field over, you know, from a distance. So congratulations on your new role. So talk to me, you know, you've supervised student staff for quite some time. What have you found to be the most rewarding aspects of supervising student staff?
I just love hearing everyone's stories and getting to know them. I always thought I was going to be a teacher. And so I love seeing those aha moments, whether it's like, I finally succeeded in this thing, or my residents finally did this, or, you know, whatever that looks like. Or maybe it's just like, wow, like this year was tough, but like we made it through together. Like everyone has a different like moment where it clicks and a moment where they can look back and be proud of themselves. And I just like to be like an active like participant or cheerleader, or like, I don't want to use the word voyeur, but like someone that's like looking in and like watching them like go through this journey. That's really weird, but that's kind of my favorite part, is watching people like have that like aha moment where like, I did this. So that's probably like, yeah, working with RAs is my favorite part. Yeah,
the aha moments, because there's always going to be one of that, you know, where something sinks in or they realize this is why I'm doing this. This is pretty cool. And sometimes I think that aha could be, I don't know if this is for me, right? I think it varies, but that's the moment that I think we get to see when you live with students who, you know, work and live in. So thanks for sharing that. So now let's delve into the topic of creating supportive supervisory relationships with student staff. What would you consider to be your must-dos or top tips in that regard?
Yeah, my like number one above all else is be authentic. I appreciate you sharing that you were an introvert, and small talk was hard. I never felt that way with you, but I think being authentic is huge, because I used to think that me being an introvert as well, like everyone's like so loud in the field and like so confident with themselves in the field. And I'm like, here, I'm like this awkward little nerd sometimes. But I think being authentically me, they're like, no, that's just Mimi and stuff like that. And they're like, I like Mimi for Mimi. Whereas when I tried to like force myself to like be in these positions, it made them be like, I don't really know who she is. Therefore, how do I trust her? How do I build this relationship with her if she can't be authentic with me? So that's like my number one. It's just be you at the end of the day, whatever that is, but communicate how you is too, because I know that like sometimes I'll be like, no. And I'm like, oh, wait, like people like want an explanation, or, you know, like, right. Like, so I'll kind of explain how I communicate. And so that's my number two, is like, definitely talk it through and get to know your team as well. Be like, how do you like to be communicated with? You know, sometimes I'll wait till a one-on-one to give feedback, where a student's like, I'd much rather have that feedback immediately. And I'm like, okay, well, let's do that. I just don't want to do it in public settings. So there's different things to that. So that's the get to know your team and what they need. But then also like authentically get to know them as a person. And there's going to be times where your personality does not match up with your team, and that's totally fine. I had someone that was really into wrestling, but I'd ask them like, hey, how was watching the game, like explain it to me and stuff. And they know that I didn't know what it was, but they appreciated that I was taking interest in them. And so like, even if there's no interest and stuff like that, we all get into this role because we like working with people. So people, you know, are going into this with kind hearts and open minds. And so I just encourage you to role model that, kind of like how I've learned to do as well. And then my last one is just be adaptable and consider alternatives. As a former teacher, I look at all of my RAs as students, and everyone has a different learning style, and everyone, therefore everyone has a different communication style or work style. And so as a supervisor, I see myself as adapting to their style, so that way they can best receive information in a way that works for them, or they can best be encouraged in a way that works for them. Whatever the situation warrants, I can do it in a way that clicks with their brain. And so that's the best that's the best thing that I've learned coming out of a teacher credential program into this role, is how easily that can be applied to just supervising student staff.
One of the things I love that you said was making sure folks know who you are or your expectations, so that it's both, and this piece of being comfortable with yourself and being authentic. And no one knows how you operate. Like, I cannot read your mind. And that's something it took me a little bit to learn, if I want to be honest, is that, you know, I think a lot. And those words can't just sit in my head. I was in a session, a training session a couple of weeks ago, and the presenter said, have you told your staff what your vision is? Have you told them what your goals are? And so when you apply that to student staff and the pieces that you shared with me, I think it comes down to, who are you? What do you need? And then how are you going to set your team up for success? But the other piece you said too is being adaptable and really truly adjusting based on what they need too. So there's a relationship, it sounds like, that needs to happen. It's not just, I am the supervisor. It's, we are a team potentially, right? And how do we work together? So, yeah.
I definitely agree with the team part. I see myself as learning from my team as much as they learn from me. Also because they're younger and they're keeping me young and hip at heart, but, you know, they're in it. Like they're the ones working directly with students a lot of the time. So like, there's so much that they bring that I'm learning and be like, okay, well, this is how we're going to need to adapt our whole style as a team to best meet the needs of our students. So I definitely look at our brains on like equal levels, because they bring in so much as well.
That's why you're so good at this. Like this, like, you know, you really focus on how do we make sure that, you know, they get what they need. And then you talked about, you learn from them as well, right? It's a definite two-way street in that relationship. So I want to focus on what I think is a crucial part of the RA experience. And I think you would agree with me, one-on-one meetings between RAs and their supervisors. What are the key topics or elements that you believe should be covered in a one-on-one?
Yeah, I mean, at the end, I'm going to say it depends on the day and the situation. However, no matter what, I always try to do a personal check-in with them, see where they're at, because at the end of the day, they're students, number one, but they're human beings above that, right? Like, we all go through things. We all go through feelings, life, like stress, happiness, joy, like everything that life comes with, we all go through. And I always try to check in with them, number one. That's the first thing that I do. And sometimes it's like, we need to spend our whole meeting talking about this incident to like debrief or process or come up with next steps. But in that, I will always make sure to, one, start off with seeing how they're doing, and two, end with seeing how I can support them going forward. And I've learned the biggest thing about support is, you know, me just saying like, hey, how can I support you? They'll be like, I don't know. Like, thanks for the words of encouragement. So like, there's been times where I'll say like, hey, I think I'm going to do this. Is this supportive for you? And like, for an example, I had a student that just had a roommate conflict, and then like just multiple issues, one after another, that I was like, hey, how about you don't schedule any one-on-ones with students next week, right? Like, you just take the week and you just plan your events and stuff like that. How does that sound for support? And like, that was much more tangible for them than me being like, hey, I care about you, which I, of course I say that, but having that like support, like being like, okay, I know that I can do this, tends to help them. So I've tried to do that. Not every situation I can find the perfect answer, because sometimes it's just like, I'm here with you, you know, we're going through this as best we can together, but there's only so much that I might be able to like take off of a plate or rearrange or anything like that. So those are like my bookends that I try to do. But then after that, if it is as best as possible, a normal week, a normal check-in, I try to do work-related check-ins and be like, hey, what are things that are going well in your community? I want to get them in the habit of saying things that are they are doing well, because I know humans as society, we tend to focus on like the bad customer service experiences or like the stressful residents. So like I want my RAs to like get in the habit of tooting their horn so that way they can say like, this is everything that I've done. Like I've done all this for like my community and that's great. And it also like secretly helps them like slowly put together a resume in their head of things that they've done as RAs. But then to like talk about things that they're working on, maybe things that don't escalate at my level, but they're like, hey, there's this roommate conflict coming up, you know, we'll talk about that. And also like, do you want to process that? Do you not want to process that? And then of course, if feedback's necessary, I'll provide them with feedback. But then there's some weeks where it's like, I don't know if y'all are going through it, but I know we definitely go through it with the roommate conflicts right now. There's weeks where it's like, okay, like I checked in with you, but like, let's walk through this situation and come up with a game plan together. So that way they don't always feel like they have to make all of the decisions together. Cause at the end of the day, they're students. And some of them might be seeing a conflict like this for the first time in their lives too. So I'll take the time and use it. And sometimes that's helpful for them because it allows them time to like either vent or process or debrief and stuff like that. So that way I can hopefully make the situation way less on their shoulders as they like leave my office. So like I said, a lot of it's adaptability and figuring out what they need for that one-on-one in that moment. But my two main things are check-ins and support.
I love that. And you also talked about like, do we need to make a game plan for how to approach this thing that's happening in your community and working that through with them? The support piece was really interesting because that's a question we even ask our professional staff. We say, I care about you. I want you to do well. How can I support you? And some folks don't know how to respond to that. And so I like that you provide examples to say, these are some things you can ask for, or I would be okay with, because then as they get you all get to know each other, they can say, oh yeah, remember when you named this thing, can I do that? So you're helping them learn skills to ask for what they need and answer that question differently and better, not just under your supervisory support, but as they move throughout in whatever career, to be able to name what their needs are. And that's a very valuable skill, I think. So thanks for sharing that. So logistics, how often do you think RAs should meet with their supervisor? And like, or basically, what do you think is a best practice?
Yeah, I think it's really tough to answer that question. I think it depends on the RA. Generally, within the first 6 weeks, they have all of their roommate agreements that they're working on, all their one-on-ones that they're working on. So during the first 6 weeks, I usually meet with them weekly for 30 minutes, just so that way we're having those touch points. If it's a quick check-in, checking in really on them, because I realize those first 6 weeks are probably the most stressful 6 weeks for an RA. And I don't want to create one more meeting with them as they're doing all these one-on-ones, but I want to make sure that they're doing okay. So really it's more of like a care check-in versus like, are you doing your job check-in? And then after that, I tend to evaluate the needs of the staff. I think it's good every 2 weeks to spend an hour with an RA. So whether that's 30-minute one-on-ones weekly or every other week for like an hour or something like that. But I might tailor that to the RA because I have some RAs that are talkers, and putting them in a 30-minute meeting sometimes, I feel like it bumps up against another meeting, and then I never want them to feel rushed out of my office and be like, hey, I gotta go. Like, you know, like we're done. That's a terrible feeling, especially when they're either talking about something that's really exciting to them or something that's really stressing them or something like that. So I'll strategically plan how, after the 6 weeks of getting to know them, I'll kind of strategically plan that out. But then I tend to give them the option of, would you prefer every other week? So that way the weeks that we're off, you can use that as like dedicated work time. You can like put this on your calendar as a weekly thing, but we should talk every other week. Or, and then there's some that are like, no, I want to process every single week. So we might do 30-minute, weekly one-on-ones with the understanding that maybe 1 week we can cancel or something like that. So for best practice, I would never go more than 2 weeks without checking in on an RA. And I don't know how your institution might do it. Our institution does weekly staff meetings and then alternating weekly in-services. So I try to time my one-on-ones to the weeks where there's in-service where I might not make a personal connection, to the staff meeting one where it's just the however much my staff size is, maybe that would be the off week for one-on-ones. So that way I know that I'm going to make a personal check-in with them that way too. So it depends on how your institution is structured. It depends on how many students you manage and your conduct and all that kind of stuff too. But ultimately, I see is checking in with RAs is a priority in my schedule as well. So as I cancel or rearrange meetings, because we know meetings just get plopped on our calendar sometimes, I always try to make sure to allow RAs alternatives to check in, because I never want to make sure that they are like, I was looking forward to this meeting so we can process this and now I don't have time. So, you know, I try to provide alternatives if that happens as well.
It sounds like it also gives you the ability to manage your schedule and all the things you have going on too. That's a piece of this that came out. I remember my first year as a resident director, I had 12 RAs and I was meeting with them every week for 1 hour. And my supervisor was like, Crystal, I can never find you. You're always busy. What is going on? And so I told her and she's like, no, like, she's like, that's 12 hours of your work week that you're sitting in these meetings. And while that's important, she said, you can do every other week. You can do, you know, all 12 one week and then a week off. You could do six each week. And so I just didn't know. And so that drastically improved my schedule, but then also theirs. But that, so I think those are some really cool tips you added, is what's the structure and expectation at your institution, what else is happening in their lives and your life, but never letting more than 2 weeks go without making some form of communication. And it may not be a one, you know, those off weeks like you talked about, is it an email follow-up or check-in? You know, some places do weekly reports. Mm-hmm. So whatever style works to let them know that they matter and that you're available as a supervisor, I think that's really, really cool. So if an RA finds that their supervisor isn't doing some of the stuff you've mentioned or we've been talking about, how would you recommend an RA could approach that? Let's say an RA watches this and says, my hall director, my supervisor doesn't do that. I want this thing to happen. How would you coach that RA, or how could they bring that up to their supervisor?
Yeah, I would definitely say talk directly with a supervisor, right? Like if we go around our supervisor, like it already creates this like sense of tension that makes creating like some sort of plan much harder, right? Because we're adding that friction in the middle that we have to get in between, versus like directly going to the supervisor and being like, hey, watch this video. I think this might be really helpful to do. Would you be on board with it, or something similar or something like that? I'm excited because I think it might help me like XYZ or something like that. I think coming in and just having an authentic conversation. And I try to do this with everything in life, not just with supervisors, but anytime where I'm like, my ask for something, I try to make it a collaborative conversation versus like, hey, I need this and this and this and this versus demands, because I might not know the full scope of their work. They might not know the full scope of my work and stuff like that. So like, I try to go in without assumptions about what my supervisor might be going through. Last year we were short staffed, so I had 19 RAs. So like if one person was like, I would like more time, I'd be like, cool, let's work it out together with this schedule that I have. I don't want to say no to you, but like, let's look at this together and we can figure out what works. So like, I think that's the biggest thing is, one, have a direct conversation, you know, directly with your supervisor, but two, look at it as a collaborative experience. Now, if you feel like there is legitimate, like lack of support and it's being met with, you know, like frustrations or anything like that, like you can be very direct about that and be like, hey, when this is presented to me this way, I feel like this, right? Like the I statements that we talk to our residents about applies to everything in life. But I think the best thing to do is always have a conversation. But to be able to explain things too, right? Because like, I might not understand from the context and history of my life why someone would want something a certain way. But if you explain it and I can like understand like, oh, this is actually really helpful for either your schedule or how your brain works or anything like that, like it makes more sense. And while I might not be able to do it exactly as X, we might be able to find Y or Z or like whatever plan we can come up with, it at least allows like some sort of cooperative experience that we can go through, and just communication skills in general is great to have. So
yes, I am so impressed with you. I'm trying to keep all my like praise to myself, but like I love these answers that you're sharing. So speaking of one-on-ones, as I shared, small talk, oh no, not a thing for me. But so I think that pick whatever descriptor, I think they can be nerve-wracking for both parties at times. How do you personally prepare yourself to create a comfortable and supportive environment when engaging in these conversations?
Yeah, It's definitely nerve-wracking at first, especially as fellow introvert who I'm very happy to get down to business and skip a small talk, which I realize like it doesn't build relationships that well all the time. I feel like I have a good relationship, but I realize it doesn't appear that way all the time. So I definitely make it a part of my schedule. And back in the day when I first started supervising staff, I had very structured one-on-ones. And it just felt so stale. And I was kind of role modeling after a supervisor that like had a list of things, but I was also professional staff. Like it looked a little bit different, right? Like there are things that we have to cover sometimes. But it made it feel very stale and very transactional. And that's not how we can build support and trust in a job that requires a lot of support and trust. We're in a lot of cases like crisis management and so much stuff. So we have to have each other's backs and feel like we have each other's backs. And so now even if I don't know what I'm talking about, I'll be like, you tell me about this, like explain it. And even if I don't understand, like I won't pretend to be like, oh wow, cool, interesting. Like I'll be like, I don't know what that is, but I see you're really excited. Tell me more. That kind of thing. So that's kind of what I go in preparing myself is just like, what can I learn about them? And that actually like isn't much work that I have to do in this situation. So I think that eases my nerves because I'd just be like, I need to find something that they feel comfortable sharing with me. And then I just get to sit back and watch them like get really excited about something. And I'm like, that helps me and my nerves because like, oh, that's step one, done. Check it off the list. Like I had to ask three questions, we're good. But it also like I try to make my environment like conducive to having conversations. I generally have fidget toys and tissues in my office at all times. As I play with a fidget toy right now, like it's just like habit, right? Like to talk about like creating that like comfortable setting. And so those are things that I can do ahead of time, right? Like create a comfortable setting. I'll try to keep a list of things so that way I don't forget like if there's anything important that they need to know. And sometimes I'll tell them like, hey, I'm gonna run through the spiel really quick of all the things that we need to cover, but like let's chat about you afterwards too, because I realize that like if I when I get very task oriented, it does feel very transactional and it does feel very stale. But like when I like say, hey, we're gonna do this now, it feels less stale and transactional. It shows that I'm seeing them as a person, but also like recognizing like the gravity of the situation. Not situation of a one-on-one, but like that we need to like go through certain things in our one-on-one. And then be transparent. Sometimes I'll be like, hey, like I also know that I'm about to get this call for this student that might come through. I don't want to interrupt your one-on-one, but also I want to make sure that the student's physically safe right now and stuff too. So like if I have those kind of things coming through, I'll be transparent with them. And I embrace the weird. It gets easier after a while once you embrace like your awkwardness, the awkwardness. And like sometimes I'll be like, first one-on-one, it's okay to be nervous, like that kind of stuff. And then it slowly becomes routine that you're like, okay, every year, every new RA, we'll have our couple of funky one-on-ones. And then after that, we'll figure out our style that works for us. But I try to learn from my peers a little bit too and see what they're doing. There was one resident director that I used to work with, and he would have themed one-on-ones. And so like one week they would like he'd bring his Nintendo in and they'd play games together for like 10 minutes into the one-on-one, and then like loosen them up and stuff like that. So it was like the small talk without the small talk. And then like the next week they'd be like, let's make Play-Doh monsters, like right, like he always had an activity in the office. And while like that's not always 100% like what I'm able to do in that situation, that worked for him and his style. So like figure out what's fun for you. Figure out what's, fun for your RAs. And like, not every one-on-one is going to be 100% fun all the time. And that's okay. Just go with the weird. That's kind of my thing. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Yeah, just get to know them. That makes it so much easier.
Yeah, so build rapport building, right? And that also sounds like a page from your teacher book, right? So building rapport, being yourself, and I think there is a place where you can be so much fun to where you're not getting anything done, or you'd be too tasky. That's what I'm hearing. And it sounds like there has to be a balance between both. I know we used to do these things called fun-on-ones, where it's like, hey, take me to your favorite place on campus. Or maybe I meet in your community and you take me through your floor and show me your DoorDex, or talk about what you're most proud of. So I think even getting out of your office can be a really cool tip as well. But and oh, you know, overall, what I heard you saying is that how can you show support? How can you tell yourself, okay, this is the human I'm about to meet with. What helps them feel excited and supported? And then that's the mind space I'm going to be in for the next 30 minutes or 45 minutes with this person. Okay, so if folks want to learn more about how to hold one-on-one meetings or anything where it's like really trying to be supportive or build a community or connection with their student staff members, do you have any recommendations for where they can learn more?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely like the internet is full of resources. Sometimes I'll Google, like, right. Like sometimes I'll be like, what's a interesting idea, or like, is there anything that I'm missing? Right. But like outside of just like Googling and seeing what kind of resources are out there, I'll talk to my supervisor, right. Like they've been in a little bit longer than me, see what worked for them. But I'll also talk to my peers because they might be coming from a different program than me. They might be coming from with different experience. What's worked with them. A lot of learning that I've done as a professional has honestly just been observing how other people do things. And then like taking bits and pieces. Cause like, I might not be as high energy as someone else, or I might not be, you know, as like, you know, let's delve into the deep questions on day one, because some people like you can naturally feel that with them and it just feels so natural. And I don't know if that's my style, but like I'm able to take bits and pieces, right? And like I do this with my conduct meetings too. I'll hear the spiel that one person gives. I'm like, wow, that's really good. I want to add that to my spiel now and stuff. So talk with people that you're working with. But then there's also like Facebook groups or just general boards that people join. I'm part of a few online, and like people just ask questions, be like, I'm noticing this trend this year. Is anyone else doing this too? Or like, I'm struggling with like trying to get someone to open up with me and stuff like that. Like, what does that look like? And you know what? Like, you might not have that aha moment with your RA, like the first one-on-one. Like, you know, some people, like it takes a while for them to feel comfortable and open up. Some people would be like, here's my open book day one. Like, let me tell you everything. And that's okay, because like, that's us too as supervisors, right? Like, some of us might be that way. Some of us might not be that way. Like, it just shows us as humans. And I think that's the beauty of it. But really, like, I look at everyone around me as an expert, because like, we're all humans, therefore we all have different personalities. Therefore, like, there's a key in everyone's style that can apply to like, you know, this specific RA or this specific RA or this, right? Like, it depends on the situation. But those are my primary methods of like learning and growing and evolving to have these one-on-ones, is just seeing what everyone else is doing. Also, secretly, we know our RAs talk about us and be like, well, my supervisor does this and my supervisor does that. So I think it's good for us also to like be on the same page and be like, we're all doing this, right? So that way, as they do that, they'll be like, oh yeah, mine does this too and stuff like that. So
they do. I think it was called the RA code of silence, where they would talk to each other, but you better not let the supervisor know that we're talking about these things. And there has to be space for them to process with each other. And, you know, at some point say, okay, we really need help. We should probably tell our supervisor that we feel this way or we want these things. But yeah, we definitely had that too when I was an RA. But I like this peer-to-peer learning piece at any level that you're talking about, and asking for help. You know, I'm struggling with this thing, or I'm doing this really cool thing and I want to share it, and maybe you want to try it too. So I'm going to sneak in another question, because I think, you know, you might have a really good perspective on this. So let's say there's a, you know, a hall director, resident director, you know, pick your title, who had a bad one-on-one, like this did not go well. How do I repair this thing? How do I fix this? Like what type of encouragement or tips do you have to say, hey, you can do this? Like, how do you come back from what feels like an awkward, you know, or a bad one-on-one? I don't know if you've had that experience, but that question popped up. So
yeah. I feel like we as student affairs professionals really hold it more than we need to sometimes. And we're in this job because we care, right? Like we're here for the people. Therefore when something doesn't go right, like we feel like our job didn't go right, because we're here to like make a positive experience. And when the experience doesn't feel positive, we're immediately like, oh, this is terrible. But sometimes it's not as terrible as we make it out to be. That's my number one. And I'll be like, was it that bad? Okay, if it was, like, I'm not gonna like downplay anything and stuff like that. And like, your emotions hold truth, but we need to give ourselves some grace. And a great piece of advice that I got from a supervisor one time was, either don't reply to an email or a phone call until your blood pressure has calmed down. And when you think about it, your blood pressure doesn't rise again. And this is for any angry parent or angry student that like comes your way and stuff like that. But sometimes it's like that with RA staff too, of like, sometimes I need to give myself just a little space, not too much space, right? Because we don't want them stewing on a situation longer than they need to as well. But I'll give that advice to like my fellow peers and just be like, hey, like give yourself some grace, give them some grace and stuff like that, but then come back to it. And like, sometimes it might be like an email the next day of like being like, hey, I know we didn't leave our one-on-one where we usually do. If you need to check in, let me know. Like reassuring that like, no matter what, I'm still here. I'm still your supervisor. We'll still work together. But then also know like we'll have how many other one-on-ones throughout the rest of the semester to do things. I don't know if this is like a great thing of mine or not, but I'm a compartmentalizer. I've learned to do that. So like sometimes I have to give feedback, and that feedback is hard for someone to hear, and I'll do it, but I'll be like, okay, like feedback over, like now we're going to move on to the rest of our job, like closing that drawer in my head. And so for some people, you know, they need that drawer to be open a little bit longer, right? And that some people are like, oh, thank goodness you're closing it right away, like we can move on and not pretend it didn't happen, because that's not a good learning experience. But like not let the emotions of the situation have to be going on longer. So I think it depends on the situation, but ultimately, like, no matter what, we're their supervisors for the rest of the year, potentially the next year, depending on what RA selection looks like and staffing and villages and buildings and all that kind of stuff. But letting them know, like, hey, no matter what, like, you know, I'm here to support you through thick and thin. I know this job has its ups and downs, but I also know that we're learning together. And every new batch of students that we get, whether it's RAs or residents and stuff like that, every year is going to be different. So there is a learning period for all of us collectively as a university together each year and relearning, you know, how to work together as a team.
That is excellent, excellent advice. We've just had such a delightful conversation, full of great information. Thank you so much, Mimi, for joining me today and talking about having productive one-on-ones, and then lots of other advice that I think can apply to so many different settings, not just in our work in one-on-ones, but like you mentioned, conduct meetings, and just life stuff, you know, and how we talk to each other and treat each other. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me today. It was great kind of catching up with you a little bit and getting to speak about where we're at in our careers and with students and all that fun stuff.
Yes. And to you all listening, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Res Ed Chat. If you have an idea of a topic or person that you'd like us to have on the show, please let us know by reaching out to RoomFact. Take care.